Hello and good evening, good morning, good afternoon, whatever time you're listening to this at. Welcome back to the Red Light Roundtable.
Happy 3:15 a.m.
Yeah, maybe you're listening to 3:15 a.m. Who knows?
No, you are.
All right, I am. Yeah. No matter what time you're listening to this, it's look at your clock. It's 3:15. Whoa.
Yep, got him.
It's also Rusev Day.
Yeah. Oh, every day is Rusev Day.
That's correct.
Look at your calendar, Rusev Day. Anyway, wrestling jokes aside, I'm your main man, Connor, a.k.a. Steve Cage, whatever you want to call me. Passing around to the left of this metaphorical table.
My name is Adre. You can call me Echo.
And my name is JT. Call me Josh. Call me that guy who sucks at Overwatch.
Still.
Mostly that last one, though.
Yeah. Well, we have quite the show today.
I'm nude.
Yeah.
Alrighty then. On that note, I hear my mom calling. I have to go.
Great show, guys.
Wow, we got quite a lot of stuff to talk about, so let's get right into it, shall we?
Let's do.
We'll start off the show today by talking about the Overwatch League, which, holy crap, this weekend had some fantastic games. I don't know if you guys how much of it you guys watched, but some of the games this weekend were insane.
Yeah, I was really only able to watch the first day, which that's Wednesday.
That was Wednesday, yeah.
I was only really able to watch Wednesday, and then I tried to catch other matches when I could, but I do plan on going through and watching them all again.
Yeah, let me just pull up the results really quickly. You're going to hear my keyboard.
Clickety-clack.
Yep, this is the moment where I'll just start No, enhance. I don't want...
Enhance.
So I just did a dumb thing. I just typed in OWL results, and of course came up with the owl results from Harry Potter.
Yeah! Go Hermione!
Wow.
Woo! Hermione's my main girl.
Yeah, I'm House Slytherin. You're welcome, hat.
Totally Hufflepuff over here.
Okay, can we kick him off the podcast?
No,
wow,
absolutely.
Rude.
All right, so there we go. We got the results up. I mean, for the most part, like, the first day we had, unsurprisingly, Seoul Dynasty destroying Florida Mayhem 4-0.
Yeah.
Which, no one was surprised there.
No.
What was surprising, though, is Florida Mayhem... Wait, where was it? They did win this week.
Where was it?
Yes, they did. Okay, so Seoul Dynasty 4-0'd Florida Mayhem. Florida Mayhem then 4-0'd the Shanghai Dragons. Now, Shanghai Dragons have very quickly become the meme team of the Overwatch League. They're just... Something's wrong there. Yeah, they're the Cleveland Browns.
They're the JT.
Yeah.
Overwatch. Oh, wait. Yeah, that works.
The Shanghai JTs.
That's what they should. I'm calling copyright on that. I mean, they can have it, but, you know, they got to pay me some money.
Royalty.
Yeah. Because it was... So, Seoul Dynasty played two games this week. They played against Florida Mayhem, which was destroyed 4-0. Now... I was watching they also won 4-0 against Boston on Friday. But the thing with that, though, there's a difference between, like, just absolutely giving up 4-0 and, like, actually making that 4-0 a hard-fought victory.
Yeah.
Now, I think the Boston team held up a lot better than Florida did. Sorry, my phone just going off. I think the Boston team held up much better, even though the results were still the same, no matter what. But I do think Boston shows some potential here. Houston also looked amazing this week. Their games weren't exactly that challenging. But against Shanghai, they did really well. They also got 4-0. The tussle in Texas, the super hyped up match with the Dallas and Houston. Houston won that handily.
I did want that one.
That was good. That was a really entertaining match to watch, which actually brings me to my point, my biggest entertainment source this week, the XQC situation.
Ah, yes.
Now,
I don't even know what that is.
Are you aware of this? Oh boy. All right. So, XQC is a player on Dallas Fuel. He did not play during the game against Houston. Now, he's like really talented, very good player and everything. He has been known on his stream to, how should I say this? Not be the most
filter.
Yeah, he doesn't know what he just doesn't think before he speaks.
Okay.
Which.
Oh, is this the thing people were freaking out about?
Yep, it's that thing.
With like DJ Wheat from Twitch was like, Monte Cristo's a racist.
Sort. Not that. Not that one.
Stem from that? Okay.
That was something else. Monte Cristo had a comment, but that's a different thing. Oh. So for those of you who don't know who might be listening, XQC made a comment on a stream about the player on Houston Outlaws, Muma, basically made a homophobic remark. Now, Muma is the only player in the Overwatch League who is an outed homosexual. So, out of the closet, everything. Now, XQC made a dumb, like, gamer comment, which I won't repeat here. You can look it up on Twitch. It was pretty bad.
Did it end with, you might like it?
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
Okay, I did hear that.
Yeah. So, you know, not the smartest thing to say. I will say, though, as soon as he said it, he knew he messed up.
Yeah. If you actually watch the VOD of him saying it, he makes his comment, he adds the snarky part to it, and then he, like, immediately goes, you know, hand to mouth, and you just know that he knows
that he's goofed. So, what I'm interested here, this is the first real discipline thing that's happened in the Overwatch League so far. Yeah. So, XQC was fined $2,000 by the league. He did pledge to match that $2,000 fine to an LGBT charity of Muma's choice, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yep.
He's also, the Dallas Fuel have banned him from the rest of the stage.
Yeah. He started out with the $2,000 fine and then being banned for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And then Dallas just decided, no, he's not coming back until the season's early stage is over.
Yeah. This way the season works is kind of weird, but there's four stages each of 5 weeks, I think. But either way, like, they're all, yeah, that's going to be so that's being the first, like, big disciplinary charge in the league is interesting. Some people were saying, like, you know, league is over, that's a pretty harsh statement for something gamers say and everything, but it's pretty clear Blizzard's trying to make this a very professional league. Yeah. And in the NFL and the MLB, you say stuff like that, you're not getting away with it. They're making this very clear. They're not putting up with that.
I think I was talking to you about this a little bit, but you know, playing soccer in high school and stuff, we would trash talk one another, but we would only do it on the field, you know? Yeah. He didn't say this, like, actually on stage where you could, you know, be face-to-face with the guy. He said it
exactly
on his own stream, like, out of, like, a quote-unquote in public. I don't really know if it would have made a difference. Personally, I don't really think it should have made a difference. Like,
no.
If you're somewhere where a microphone can pick you up and you're saying that kind of stuff and you get caught, you should pay the consequences.
I don't even know. I mean, I played a lot of sports when I was growing up too, and, you know, the trash talking was definitely there, but I don't think we ever ventured into the realm of homophobic slurs or racial slurs. Like, it was never anything like that. It was more like, oh, I'm going to wreck you, son, or, you know.
Yeah.
You're going down, homie. I mean, a little more vulgar than that, but yeah, I don't ever remember getting to the point where we were throwing out just really, really, really insensitive crap. I mean, yeah, there's a point. I think that's totally crossing it when you're saying shit like this guy said.
Yeah. Now, again, it's not necessarily anything you wouldn't hear just by going on Overwatch Team Chat normally in any game. But again, he's a professional athlete, for lack of a better word, which we'll get into in a little bit. he's a professional. He's representing Blizzard. He's representing Dallas Fuel. Also Jack in the Box, because they are a sponsor. So he's a professional. Like, he shouldn't be. He clearly regrets it, and I'm glad he does. I'm glad he's not, like, shrugging this off like it's nothing. But hopefully, it also is a good example for the rest of the league that they're going to take this stuff seriously. So hopefully we'll see less of this stuff going forward.
I think now that they've kind of set a precedent to the people or the players that, you know, everything they do on stream is going to be, like, somebody's going to catch it. And as soon as it's, I mean, that the risk you take by putting stuff out on the internet live and unedited, where, you know, you might just be caught up in the heat of the moment and say something stupid, but now it's out there, especially with how easy it is for people to clip things on Twitch. And you can, you know, take that link, send it to whoever you want, and suddenly everyone can see it. So by them taking this sort of stance on, like, the fur incident, I hope it will keep everyone on a more professional level there.
Exactly. I personally don't believe XQC meant anything bad by it. It was just a dumb comment he made that he's paying for. But I know Mooma's already come out and said, like, he's cool with it. They've talked privately, and, like, they both apologized. It should be noted that this comment was made in reference to a comment Mooma made in the post-game interview, where he said whatever his... I'd personally never watched XQC stream, so he said his catchphrase, whatever it is. And
it's like smoked and rolled.
Smoked and rolled. And it was definitely a dig at him. Like,
yeah, because he didn't even play in the match.
Yes, so. It should be noted that this was in response to that.
Yeah.
So they both said something kind of dumb.
Yeah, and not, I don't want to defend or come off like I'm defending XQC, but what he said, like, if you were to take the last half of what he said out of the whole thing, nobody would have cared at all.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right. Nobody cared.
Yeah, because that's just like his insult is a normal insult that I'm sure everyone has, you know, thrown at somebody at one point, but it just because of who he was saying it to, like, in reference to, and what he added at the end, I think is what really crossed the line.
Oh, I agree 100%. But this actually brings me up to my next point. I mentioned earlier athletes, for lack of a better word. So I've always thought esports, especially now the Overwatch League and the NICS also started this week too, or last week rather. But so esports are back in full swing. We talked a little bit about it with the discipline of the league. What do you guys think in terms of organization of esports? Should they be treated and run like they're an actual sports league, or should they be in a separate tier?
If that makes sense. I think they should probably be operated just like the other sports leagues out there. I mean, I'm going to use Overwatch because that's probably one of the most prevalent right now.
Well, I think it's also mainstream. Fair. Yeah, I think that's also fair because the Overwatch League is a franchise system.
Yeah.
The rest of other leagues are not. And I could be wrong, but as far as I know, Overwatch League is a first of its kind in esports to have permanent teams instead of the typical, like, promotion relegation system like League of Legends has.
Yeah. I think it's, I don't know. I know their plans to spread out into having arenas, you know, at the local areas, and that's really cool and everything. I'm curious to see if it's got the staying power. I mean, Overwatch, but I mean, esports is definitely gonna stay. I mean, it's
esports are here to forever. Stay. Exactly. Yeah.
But I don't necessarily see them needed to, I don't see it needed to be treated differently than other sports leagues. I mean, it's the same thing at the end of the day. I mean, you've got people, I think I said this last week, but you've got people doing very precise moves with their body and doing it very well. And people like to watch that So, you know, you center a league around people doing very precise moves. You know, it's no different than the NFL catching a ball right before you're flying out of bounds, doing the toe tap. You know, this is someone doing like a no scope or something. I mean, for lack of a better word. That's kind of how I feel about that. I mean, it's kind of the same thing. You know, I see some plays in esports where I'm like, yeah, that's why this person's a pro. I mean, mm-hmm. There should definitely be. They should definitely not be separate. I would love to see. I don't know, more mainstream. I would love to see independent coverage, you know, NBC coming in and, oh, we're covering the regional semifinals of the blah, blah, blah invitational. You know, yeah. I would love to see that. You know, I would love to see it get to a hype level where, you know, you've got people doing fantasy esports leagues, which is already a thing, but, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, it's also.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, part of, I was looking some research on this topic. So, in pretty much every esport, most of the games are dominated by typically Korean teams. And we're seeing that right now with Seoul Dynasty. Part of the reason why I was looking into this, and I could be wrong in this, so if anyone is listening and has a better answer than this, let me know. But in Korea, the culture there, it's more of like what you're saying. They've been televising StarCraft tournaments for years. So kids are growing up with these like professional sports and everything, esports being shown to them and like being shown it could be a real career path. Same way we're shown in America, professional sports like football, basketball, stuff. So that's what we see as a professional sport. Whereas in Korea and other Asian countries, they're shown video games from a young age.
And that's actually provocative.
Yeah.
Now you got me thinking, you know, well, what happens when, you know, let's just say you tell your parents, oh, I'm, you know, I don't want to do this because I want to play a video game. Oh, you're going to play a video. Like there's a stigma.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. There's
a stigma in the States towards gaming and gaming culture in general. And I think that's one of those hurdles that I hope esports is going to.
Yeah.
Cross the divide, and I think that's what happens in South Korea. Like you said, you know, kids are brought up on esports being a legitimate sport.
Yeah,
maybe, you know, maybe that would be a cultural shift here. A really awesome thing to think about.
Well, especially because right, so now esports are in a position where they're presented at least the same level, if not higher, than some professional sports. Like the production value on some of these tournaments is incredible.
Oh, for real.
And like we talked about the Overwatch League last year, but for like League of Legends, the stage they have every week is amazing.
Yep.
Riot sold out, they didn't sell out, but they held an event in Madison Square Garden in the Staples Center, and these big arenas all over the country. As they had one at the World Cup Stadium in Korea for season 3 of League, I think, season 3 or 4, and they sold it out, a 40,000 seat arena.
Yep.
Like the production value is insane.
I have a feeling that, especially with younger generations like ours, because we have grown up playing video games and we are growing up in a time where, you know, people are making money playing them. And most, I mean, not me personally, but I have friends who are having children and stuff like that. And I don't think that they're going to be as against it, but... Mm-hmm. I think once say the Overwatch League continues to be a mainstay and it just keeps growing, I have a feeling that eventually if they start to regulate it, like they regulate the NFL, MLB, stuff like that, where, you know, people are being drug tested for Adderall or whatever, stuff like that, it'll give it kind of a more legitimate spotlight. Yeah. The only problem that I can really see happening is what happens when the game is old. You know, like the NFL, it's the same game, but it, you know, you keep bringing in new and new players. But with games like this, people are, I don't know, maybe people will get bored of it eventually, because Blizzard can't plan for this to go on for 100 years, you know?
Yeah.
So that's,
although CSGO has been around for a while.
Yeah. Well, I
Counter-Strike,
mean,
Counter-Strike in general has been around for a while. And it's still popular as ever.
Yeah, but they've iterated, you know, like there is Counter-Strike and then Counter-Strike Source and now there's Counter-Strike Go.
Well, I mean, the next logical step would be Overwatch 2. Really.
If they do it, yeah.
Yeah. Because you're right. I don't think, using Overwatch's example here, Overwatch itself, I don't necessarily know how much they could change it so it would still be interesting. Because right now, like, it's pretty fun to watch, but if this exact same meta and this exact same stuff keeps happening for like another year or two, it's going to be boring.
Because
you're going to have people doing the same exact, like, we haven't really seen too many different team comps this season so far, because it works.
Yeah.
So I wonder if you had different, like a genre league, like, you know, this team, we're playing FPS, so you might have a round of Overwatch or a round of some other esports shooter. I mean, I wonder if that would keep things fresh enough, you know, because that's a really good point.
Like chess boxing?
Yeah, like just a random pool of games you know, that are on, like, so the team can kind of practice. I mean, they're practicing all these games, like they know what's in the pool of games, but
exactly.
I would be down for that.
If you took like any of these, like if you took like a professional League of Legends player or something and put him in any other game, he would still probably be better than most people, but he wouldn't be at the professional level at it.
I mean, you would have positions kind of, you know, as we know them, like, oh, this guy is okay at the FPS realm, but when it comes to MOBAs, this guy is like the Terrell Owens, you know, he's going to tear it up.
You got to think like
that would be cool to me.
For, a long time, I would watch, because I couldn't sleep at night, so I would just stay up late watching StarCraft 2 streams, you know, on like GOM TV, and they used to have a system, and it may still exist, where a team would play another team, but they wouldn't do team matches, so they would have, I don't know, 5 or 6 players already on standby, ready to go, and they would just, each team would pick a guy, throw him into the arena, whoever won stayed, you know?
Huh.
And then the losing team would send another player in to try and counter that. So I think that could be something fun where, you know, you have the Seoul Dynasty and the Boston Uprising, and it's all 1v1 thing, so it could be StarCraft 2 or, I don't know, some other, like, Hearthstone, who knows, to stick with the Blizzard theme. And then you just throw players at each other until one team comes out on top.
Yeah.
It just, that could be interesting.
I mean, the biggest difference here between esports and more typical sports is like pretty simple. With sports, like football, all you really need is a ball. Like, especially soccer. Like, all you need, soccer, football, whatever you want to call it, you just need a ball.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need 10 computers. You don't need like a screen for spectators to see it. You don't need like any of this other stuff. And also, like, anyone can any of us could go out and like have a paid to enter like basketball tournament and then broadcast it. And like, we can do whatever we want with it because basketball itself isn't copyrighted.
Mm-hmm.
But we couldn't do the same thing with like one particular video game, because that particular video game is a like intellectual property of Blizzard, to use Overwatch's example.
Yeah. So what we're saying is we need to make an OSFPS.
Yep.
Just open source and just free for everyone to use.
I mean, Doom's getting, we just need to make Doom multiplayer. There you go.
Yeah.
The future of esports are definitely big. It just, companies now are developing games specifically for esports with the intention of trying to cash in on all this.
Yep.
I'm just skeptical of longevity of building the games for that. Because then once the game like loses popularity, what are those players going to do?
Yeah.
Because they're only really good at one game. So it'll be, I don't know. Right now, like, we're in a great spot for it. because the Overwatch League is cool and new and everything, but like League of Legends is on is what, like eighth season now?
I think so. Yeah.
And they have like 120 something characters, if not more. Champions, whatever they want to call them.
Yeah. That was gonna be my other suggestion for Blizzard for Overwatch is to just, you know, keep making new characters, expanding your hero selection.
Yeah, exactly.
And then but there's a huge problem with that, though. I mean, the balancing in these games is incredibly difficult. You know, how do you keep every class competitive or every character competitive in an esports setting? I mean, that's.
Well, I mean, League of Legends does a good job at making things so they're mostly competitive. But even with all the balancing that Blizzard has done, as from the last time I watched OWL, they still haven't used Symmetra once.
They did this week.
Oh, did they?
She went in for maybe 2 minutes, and the announcers talked about how they're pretty sure that was only just to get Symmetra used.
Yeah. So it's like she you see her used all the time in quick play, but you don't see her being used in a competitive setting. And I don't know if that's whether or not it could be because A, the pros don't think she's worth using because she's just like underbalanced compared to everyone else, or she's really easy to counter or something. But I have a feeling that they're going to change her because of how the pros are actively avoiding her. Now, that being said, having a bunch of heroes, it's a problem for the initial balance. But once everything kind of gets balanced, you should be able to just shift things. Because, I mean, League of Legends does it. And I'm pretty sure Blizzard has, they can probably, you know, apply a lot of resources towards it as well. But another thing that I think they could do is, and this would only be viable if they did have more heroes to pick from, would be to have hero pools that shift.
Yeah.
So, like League of Legends, and I think Dota 2 do this, where every week they have different heroes that are free to play, and Heroes of the Storm does it. So, if you don't own a particular hero, you can wait for him to roll up in the rotation and then play as him to see if you like him. And I think that would just be fun to have as like a kind of arbitrary. Oh, well, I'm really good at Symmetra, but she's not available, you know, this week. So now I have to play my slightly lesser played hero.
I mean, the big difference with that, though, is that Overwatch is a paid game to start with, where those other games are free.
Yeah.
So it's free with huge quotes there. I'm just going to throw that out there. Like with League, you're right. Like there are whatever between seven and 10 champions, heroes, characters, whatever they are, that are free each week, but they make their money by buying the characters. I'm pretty sure Blizzard said when they released Overwatch that they did not want to do that, and they wanted to make sure everyone was available at the beginning, so like you could just jump right into it.
Yeah, which is fine. I would never want them to, like, if you're just jumping in for quick play to troll around or you want to go play against the AI, all the heroes should be available.
Yeah.
But if you're very specifically playing competitive, it should be, like, I think it would be fun if it was limited.
Yeah.
You know? But like I said, they would need so many more heroes for that to even be viable. Because
exactly.
What if like all the tanks were taken out of a rotation?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it's clear that Overwatch and Blizzard has big plans for Overwatch just because this league was a $20 million buy-in for each team, which, by the way, our plan to purchase the lowest performing team, which at this point is the Shanghai Dragons, will need to get up $20 million. So let's start now.
Up those mining rigs.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll have to. So they clearly have a plan for that. Otherwise, these people that just invested $20 million in a video game franchise team are going to be pretty pissed. So you got to think, like, they're taking a huge financial undertaking here. And if they didn't have a pretty good plan, then I like to think Blizzard has enough foresight to see that's a bad idea. just going in on all this without much of a backup plan.
Yeah.
But I think the way I see it right now, we're just going to enjoy this because it's pretty awesome. And then wait to kind of see how, we'll see how at the end of this season, see what happens with that. So far.
I'm sure they'll take feedback from.
Exactly.
From and you know, iterate. I think that's something nice about a new league like this. You know, you're always going to be looking for feedback and they have the power to change it. Whereas, you know, some game that's been around for 100 years, you know, you can't really change that much.
Exactly.
Yeah. We can't even decide on what a catch is in the NFL.
Oh, that still hurts.
Oh, man. Oh,
still sore. Jesse James caught that ball.
Well, if you're listening to this, you know that the Super Bowl, or sorry, we can't say that, the big game.
The Super Bowl.
Two teams are set for that. We're going to have the Philadelphia Eagles going up against the greatest football team in the history of the world, New England Patriots.
Bill Belichick's Sith Lords. What?
I mean,
God damn.
Tom Brady broodlings.
Oh my God. This is going back to Overwatch. I still had the schedule up from I had week 3 schedule up.
Boston against Philly?
Nope. It's oh my God. Well, actually, no, it's Boston against London. But it's, oh my God. The second game on Wednesday. So when this comes out, the second game today, Shanghai Dragons versus Seoul Dynasty.
Oh, that should be fun to watch.
Oh my.
How fast is that game going to be?
Watch that be like the first loss that Seoul gets.
Yeah, right? No one takes them seriously at all.
And yeah, they just come in and trounce them.
Oh, God. But yeah, we got the big game is all set, which should be fun. What do you guys do for the big game, the big sports game?
The big one, the Super Bowl?
Yeah. You guys have any cool traditions you do?
I usually will go to a friend's house because he's got like a 60, 70 inch TV, something like mm-hmm. that. And we'll just make foods and watch the game. And
nice.
We don't do any, like, sometimes we'll make little bets on it, but we usually end up wanting the same team to win anyways. Yeah. So, for the record, I want the Patriots to win because...
There you go.
Dead to me.
Well, no, I have a reason. Just like I had a reason for picking Seoul, I have a reason for picking the Pats, right?
Their jerseys, got it.
No, it's not the jerseys. It's because I know what Patriots fans are like when they win a Super Bowl. It's a known.
Oh, yeah. Philly fans are.
Oh, awful. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't want to deal with the aftermath of Philadelphia winning one. So I'd rather have the Patriots win. Because the Patriots, I believe, would act like they've been there before because they have several times.
More times than any other team.
Including the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, yeah. And the Browns.
Why are you going to break balls?
Because
Jesse James caught that ball. I'm going to say it until the day I die.
I mean, I do agree with you, not going to lie. But
Philly fans are shit.
Well, did you see they're putting, Philly had to put like Crisco on light posts so people don't climb them?
It failed.
It did. But...
Okay, so that was on the Reddit's, the WTF subreddit. Okay.
Yeah, they were.
I get it now.
They were, I guess because they like to riot when their team wins, which I never understood. Why do you riot when your team wins?
Yeah, you should riot when your team loses.
My team did something good. Let's break shit. Yeah.
By all stretches of the imagination, Cleveland shouldn't exist right now with how bad the Browns have been.
I know. But they had a victory. They had a charity parade.
Yeah, we had the reverse perfect season parade.
And that was actually successful.
Yeah, we did it. We did a nice thing. Go Cleveland.
Yeah.
Go Cleveland.
Cleveland's a cool place. What about you, JT?
I know for our big game festivities, so we always have to have pizza rolls, Totino's mm-hmm. pizza rolls. Feel free to sponsor us anytime.
Mm-hmm. I would love a Totino's sponsor.
Yeah, right.
I have some in my freezer right now.
Excellent. Mozzarella sticks and marinara. Gotta have that.
Nice.
The Super Bowl. Pretzels, lots of high carb items. And meat. Like usually a nacho dip or something with meat in it. But now that I'm doing the keto diet, carbs are not really a thing anymore. So I could just make myself a gigantic plate of bacon and that would be okay.
I would be okay with a giant plate of bacon.
I mean, yeah, I can get creative. Bacon and sausage, maybe bacon wrapped sausage. I don't know. The sky is the limit.
Yeah.
What about sausage wrapped bacon?
Whoa. Now we're just getting crazy. Bacon sausage? Ooh.
Would that just be like, would you stuff the bacon in or would you actually wrap the bacon in sausage?
I wonder.
No, you'd have to take the sausage, right? And have you ever seen how people like will start slicing a carrot and then like turn it into one long sheet? Mm-hmm. You'd have to do that to the sausage and then wrap the bacon in it.
Oh, damn, son. You're getting fancy.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you can wrap that more bacon.
Okay.
Wow. this might be my new aspiration, but if you ever watch Epic Mealtime.
Oh god.
in their epic bacon weaves. I'm telling you, that is my goal now. I'm going to just wrap all my things in a delicious bacon weave. But yeah, that's my big game scenario. And then we watch the commercials as a family because
oh yeah.
I am the only sports fan in a family of hockey fans.
Ah.
Well, I mean, hockey is probably my third favorite sport. So,
yeah, I like watching hockey.
Oh, hockey's fun.
What about you, Cage? What are your plans?
Last kind of just changes every year. Last year, for that little game where it had the biggest Super Bowl comeback of all time, let me paint a picture for you.
Okay.
The score was 3-28. I won't do that. But I went to my roommate's house. His dad made some ribs and my roommate's parents' house, I should say. we made some ribs. He got like a lot of nachos, a lot of delicious food. We did that and it looked like it was going to be a sad game. So we started pouring ourselves scotch and multiple drinks. But then they started coming back, so we poured ourselves more scotch and more drinks in celebration, and then they ended up coming back. So this year, I'm not entirely sure what I'm doing. If he's doing something, I'll go there again. I think I might just watch with my dad. Either way, there'll be copious amount of food, probably some wings, which I will be posting my recipe online because they're really good. yeah, that'll be my big game snack. Wings.
Wangs.
Wangs. Wangs.
Hashtag have a wang.
Oh, wangs. No. Have a wank.
All right. So there were also some big... There was some big announcements this week, actually. One thing... I'm a big Nintendo fanboy. And I'm still a little confused about this. Nintendo Labo?
It's Labo or Labo. I'm going to go with Labo.
Labo.
Nintendo Labo.
Yeah. So now, I didn't watch this like announcement. I did this intentionally for this purpose for the podcast. I'm going to attempt to give my insight on Nintendo Labo, Labo, whatever it is. By Labo. only having information from memes from Reddit.
Oh, God.
Now, as far as I understand it, Nintendo is making a bunch of accessories for the Switch made out of cardboard. Is that right?
You're not wrong.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, they're taking the Google Cardboard thing, but making, like, tanks and remote controls and...
So you would go out and buy kits. Like, you'd have, like, a... I don't know, like an airplane kit. You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm guessing it uses the Switch as like an interface to control these cardboard monstrosities.
Yeah, so essentially what's going to happen is there's, I think right now there's two kits. One of them is a smaller kit that has like a bunch of things. It's got a piano, a house, I think it's got like a fishing reel, stuff like that in it. And then the other one is like this massive, crazy, you know, robot backpack thing that you put on. And each kit comes with software, and that's where the real money goes into it, along with the cardboard needed to make whatever it is. So using the keyboard, for example, you will pop out all the pieces in the cardboard, build the keyboard, slide the switch into it, and then it does something with the controllers, I'm assuming, inside of it, where as you press the keys, it triggers something, and that something makes notes appear and play through the switch. Now, where people are freaking out about this is they're like, oh my god, I'm going to be spending money on cardboard, blah, blah, blah. No. So what's supposed to happen is you're able to buy a kit, and let's say, you know, 3 months down the line, your kid trips and breaks his fishing rod or something like that. You can get free replacement from Nintendo. They're not worried about the cardboard. It's just the software.
Okay.
Oh, so I was not aware of that. That's actually really cool.
That's actually good, because I had a point, which you kind of answered. So I have the Toy-Con 01 variety kit up on my screen right now, which gives you 2 RC cars, a fishing rod, a piano, a motorbike, and a house. All made of cardboard. The kit comes with cardboard sheet, a string, a sponge, and stickers.
Yep.
How much do you think that costs?
The kit itself probably was like less than $2 to make. And most of that was probably like the adhesive.
Yep. And how much do you think they're selling it for?
What is it, 60?
That's close, actually. 70.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. But like I said, that's mostly for the software that's going to come with it.
You're getting free replacements, but
I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it comes with the game and stuff, right? Basically.
Yeah. So you get like the software, and the software is what interfaces with it. Like the fishing rod seemed really cool, because it's like you build a fishing rod out of cardboard that is collapsible and stuff. Like it seems to be well made. It's got a string. The string somehow attaches to, I'm assuming, another, like it attaches to the switch screen, I think.
Yeah.
And then you use both of the Joy-Con to like beat a fishing reel.
Oh, I mean, it definitely looks cool. Like, I have some of the pictures up. The fishing rod thing does look pretty cool. It's definitely interesting. It's a novel concept, that's for sure.
And yeah.
Nintendo's takes risks. They don't care about that. That's for sure.
I think it's going to be something that's really cool for kids to play with. And then, you know, if you have a more enterprising mind, I can almost guarantee somebody's going to take these little, you know, whatever template and throw them into like a PVC type dealio where you can make a more durable version, and those people will sell it, you know. But I think my favorite part of the whole thing is that because it is cardboard, the kids can just make it whatever they want. You can color it. You can put stickers all over it. You know, you could do whatever you want with it and make it yours. And I think that's something that, like, when some of my fondest memories from when I was younger was like being able to say, yeah, I have this color, you know, Game Boy. And then my friends were like, yeah, well, my Pikachu Game Boy is cooler. And I'm like, that's your opinion, dude, but you're okay to be wrong. Because, you know, the see-through purple is better than everything.
Well, so that's a fact.
You know, as a parent, though, I'm looking at this like, oh my god, my kids are gonna love this. You know, I kind of can't wait to sit down with my kids and build that house. And
well, it's and also build
a fishing rod, you know?
Yeah, like, what I'm thinking, like, now I'm getting kind of into this now, because I had the idea, like, when you're a kid, like, a cardboard box was the coolest thing in the world. Because that could be anything. Like, it could be a house. It could be, like...
And I bet you money that's exactly where this stemmed from.
Probably. Because now they're giving you, like... Because cardboard is... I see it with my students all the time. For those of you who don't know, I teach special ed. So I have some very, like, unique students. And one of them just literally their day for 45 minutes play with a box. And it was... He loved it. Like, he was giggling the whole time, just kicked down the hall. Like, he loved it. It was so cool. So I'm seeing that. And then the box, like, your pretend box you're doing it with has sound effects and a screen, like, all this cool stuff. And it's actually, like, suddenly, like, your imagination is, like, even more alive.
Yeah. I also like that, like you said, a box can be anything. But this is Nintendo taking that box and kind of, like, helping to guide you towards, like,
here's
this specific thing. And now you have a box that looks like that thing, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's, I wasn't sure about this when I first heard it, but, like, really talking about it now, I'm kind of sold.
There you go.
Nice job, Nintendo.
Yeah, as soon as I saw it, I was, you know, I was kind of in straight-up dad mode. I'm like, oh, thank God I got a Switch. This is going to be awesome, you know?
Yeah.
I'm 27 years old, and I'm going to buy some for my for my non-existent Switch because I think it'll be fun. And, like, I don't have kids, but I do have a niece and I do have a nephew, and it'll be something that I can just say, like, she'll come in and she'll be like, Uncle AJ, can I watch something on your TV? And I'll be like, no, go fish on the Switch.
Yeah, go. Here's a box, go fishing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be interesting. That'll be cool to see, like, how... Once that comes out, definitely interesting to see what people can do with it.
Yeah.
Because it looks like there's some DIY potential here. Some really... Nintendo has never really been very good about, like, letting people make their own thing. But I'm wondering with this if, like... I doubt it'll be open source. But if you think about it, like, do you think someone could probably use this to, like... I don't know, make... Like, maybe I might want, like, some... type of cardboard thing that they're not selling. Maybe they can make their own.
I'm wondering if this might spark some people to pull out the 3D printers and interesting things. And I'm you know, my perverted mind is you know, right now going, oh, I could use that rumble feature for.
Oh my god.
You know, I'm thinking, oh God, here's my Nintendo Switch, Switch hitter. I don't know. You know, you can let your mind run wild.
Yeah.
Well, but, I mean, with a 3D printer, you could do some really crazy stuff.
I was going to keep it PG, but okay.
Well, I didn't say anything. I was talking about, like, a smoothie.
You guys listening are dirty.
Yeah.
So, the way I see this going is they'll probably do something similar to what they did with, like, Mario Maker, where they have, like, a generic, like, here's a box and you can put these things into it, you know? And depending on what you do with these things, you could then, you know, take a Mario Maker level and, you know, you could hit a button to jump or hit another button to do whatever, but instead of doing it with the Joy-Con or, you know, your actual Switch tablet, you'd be doing it with this box that you've created, you know? I could see that happening.
Yeah. Well, that's definitely something that'll be cool to see once it comes out.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to follow for sure.
I really hope they see commercial success with this because that'll keep them kind of going down the path of doing these random things that you wouldn't really expect out of a gaming company.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of the Switch, a lot of games were released for the Switch this week, or announced at least. Rocket League was released for the Switch last week, which seems perfect.
Oh, I need to get that.
Dark Souls is coming to the Switch. the remaster version. Well, we should talk about that. Dark Souls being remastered.
Oh, man.
JT is excited about.
You have no idea.
If JT starts streaming again, he's going to get lots of bits.
For those
of you who don't know, just because I can, whenever JT dies in a Souls game, I tip him exactly one bit on Twitch with the Kappa emote. And nice. I've probably given you at least a couple of dollars, I would assume.
At least, yeah.
So,
because I'm super good at video games.
Yeah. And so, weren't you planning to troll me by just dying a bunch so you could afford your Switch?
Yeah, I was actually, yeah. My evil plan was going to be just stick my
death later.
Uh-huh. And or just walk away. You know, I'm going to go watch anime while yeah. my computer auto dies in Dark Souls. Thanks, AJ.
Yeah. But yeah, that'll be fun to watch. It'll be curious to see how like the controls differ.
Yeah.
I would like to see the performance on the Switch, to be honest. The Switch isn't exactly the most powerful thing out there. So Dark Souls on that might, you know, I'm thinking Blight Town here might be a little frame droppy, you know.
Well, isn't the PC version capped at 30 frames anyway?
Yes, I believe but I think you can get around that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure the remastered version will be 60.
It's going to be funny. Because this is going to be the first remaster in the history of remasters that actually has worth graphics to make the performance better.
Well, I know for the Switch, WB 2K18 has really bad performance issues on it. Where it's really slow. It runs at like 15 frames a second.
I know I've been playing a lot of Xenoblade 2 on my Switch, and I'm getting frame drops like crazy in towns and when there's a lot of things happening on screen. I mean, I get it. I don't like it, but I mean, I don't care because I'm not sitting in, you know, I'm not taking up a TV. You know, I'm kind of crashed on the couch while my kids are watching a TV and I'm knocking out some farming, you know.
Exactly. Nintendo's never been all about like we want to have the best graphics, because they're they know that they're not going to be able to do that. But what they are able to do is get the more affordable, like niche market where they can like, hey, like the Wii, every family had a Wii, even if they didn't play video games.
Yeah, that was magic
in a time where every other thing was going HDMI with 1080p and stuff, sort of. At least outputting had the capacity of outputting 1080p. Nintendo was like, hey, let's release something that has a max of 480 and still needs a CRT TV.
I mean, I joked about that a lot at the time, but I still had one and enjoyed it.
Everyone joked about it, but it was like, what, 250 at the time, where the PS3 and Xbox 360 were like over 500?
Yeah.
So half the price, decent selection of games, Wii Sports was really fun.
I think that just kind of goes to Nintendo's philosophy of, you know, they prioritize fun and experience over, you know, cutting edge hardware, which is fine. I mean, they've always done that.
Yeah.
And it works out pretty well for them, except for the Wii U. That was
Unfortunately, the Wii U didn't do very well, which I'm mad about.
I loved the Wii U.
Great.
I bashed it until I got one, and then I'm like, oh. Yeah. I get it now. This is good.
You
can definitely see, you know, the transformation from Wii to Wii U to Switch. I mean, you could see that, you know, if you look at those three systems, you see exactly where Nintendo was going.
Exactly. They needed to just advertise the Wii U better, because everyone just thought it was like another addition to the Wii.
Yep.
Which it's not. But
nope.
What can you do? They screwed up the Wii U. I still have it. It's next to me right now. I still play it. I play Breath of the Wild on it.
That's exactly what I did. I played probably the majority of it on the controller rather than, you know, my TV.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the best part of the Wii U. One thing the Switch can't do that Wii U can is have a two-screen display.
Yep.
So like the game like Splatoon 1, I should say, because Splatoon 2 is out. You use the controller as the map and the TV was your display.
Yeah, so some of those really innovative implementations, like Zombie U, was actually kind of cool with the dual screen.
Yeah, exactly. There are some cool things Nintendo does, but Nintendo has had some really out there ideas that work and some really out there ideas that do not.
I'm just glad that they still have the nuts to try things.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone wins when people, can try.
I think I saw something that's like Nintendo can also like make $0 for the next like 30 something years and be fine. So
that's crazy.
They don't have anything to worry about. They can take risks. Really, if anything else fails, just throw Mario on it and you're good.
Yeah.
That's pretty much been their strategy lately. Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see where this cardboard thing goes.
Yeah.
For Nintendo. You're right, I'm hoping it does well. But we'll keep an eye on that. April. I just had
20
sometime in April.
Yep. 420.
Oh god, of course it does.
Yeah, I don't know if that was an oversight or just, Japan not being hip to the trend.
Oh my god. But of course we're using a 420. Because they're like, yo, bro, let's make something out of cardboard.
Nah.
Oh my god, of course they're releasing a 420.
They're marketing genius.
Oh man.
The parents are gonna go to the stores and there's gonna be lines of donors waiting to buy it. No.
I'm gonna sell cardboard Harambe.
Wait a minute. Does the cardboard stuff come in a cardboard box?
I think it does. God.
So, if they're smart, they can advertise eco-friendly and use the actual packaging as part of the product.
It wouldn't surprise me if they do.
Well, we'll see what they do. Nintendo, balls in your court.
Right.
Make something fun.
I know they're listening to this podcast religiously. I know it.
Reggie's listening.
Reggie. Now, because I'm the lord of all things Segway, didn't they also just come out with like Stardew Valley on the Switch?
Yes. So it's the highest selling Switch game.
It's an amazing game I know because you and I have both been playing it.
Yep.
So
what days in that game
been playing?
I don't mean to like throw off the podcast or anything, but The Miz just beat Roman Reigns clean.
What?
Yeah. Sorry.
Wow. Emotions.
We are recording this during Raw 25.
Yeah.
which we'll talk to in a bit. Wow. So breaking news, everyone. You heard it here first 2 days later.
Yeah, wow.
The Miz is the new reigning, defending Intercontinental Champion of the world.
And it was clean.
I bet the crowd is insane.
The crowd's going bonkers.
I don't know if you guys felt that, but that's just Reddit exploding.
Yeah, it was
the internet
had
broken.
It was a really good match, though. Like,
nice. I gotta watch all this tomorrow.
Yeah, this is amazing. I don't know why they can't do this every week. Just treat every week like it's the 25th anniversary.
Yeah, they should just do a 25th anniversary year. Now.
Yeah.
All right, so we've been playing Stardew Valley, and I'm not sure if you're aware of this or not, Cage, but they're actually working on a multiplayer patch.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't wait.
Like, I know.
It's going to be so much fun to be able to
play. You and I are going to have the greatest farm ever.
So theoretically, does this mean I could break into your farm and steal your fresh veggies?
Perhaps. We don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what it's going to be.
But we have an attack dog, okay?
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
So...
no matter how many times I play that damn game, I always end up getting a sword and going into the cave and just wasting all my time in the cave.
Well, because you can do whatever you want in the game. It's amazing.
I just stay in the cave.
I made it to the bottom of the cave, and I don't think I've stepped foot in there since, except to go get, like, earth minerals or something like
that. Yeah, I go in there for ore and stuff.
I don't have to go in there for ore because I have the quarry unlocked.
Oh, here we go. Oh,
I have that too.
Yeah,
but the quarry is like not that great once you get all the ore.
I have so much ore stockpiled.
Well, look at that. AJ Rockefeller over there with his.
I'm having flashbacks to whenever I was trying to learn Minecraft from AJ, and he's like, oh,
wait, I remember that.
You got to get this thing and you make a machine that transmute the nectoplasm into the flibbity gibbet and goes nuts and then makes boom diamonds. Like,
yeah, we just set up a red light Minecraft server. Get that going. Let us know when on the Twitter if you would like to join a Red Light Minecraft server and get JT to play Minecraft.
Using hashtag Red Light Minecraft, not hashtag Red Light MC, because we're not.
And if you think I suck at Overwatch, just wait until it's Minecraft time.
Well, once we started our MLG Minecraft team, then we got it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. But seriously, I play those free world games. Like if I played Minecraft, I would do the same thing. But Terraria, it's always like, I got to see how far down I can dig, you know?
Yeah.
So I just instantly
fall into a lava pit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, but I love doing it. Like, I love just seeing how far down I can go. Cause I'm just like, there's gotta be something down here, you know, lava.
Yeah.
I know there's lava.
But Terraria is another game that like got a lot of content added to it since the last time I played. And it's something I'm definitely considering revisiting.
If they got that on the Switch, I would probably be playing that a lot.
It was either supposed to or was on the Wii U. Can't remember.
Yeah,
I don't think it ever released. Either. It was supposed to, though.
All right.
That game could be good on the Switch. Yeah, definitely.
So, Cage, I see here that you've been playing American Truck Simulator.
I have. It's one of the games where...
Got your big rig.
Well, so after I got my GTX 1080, I realized I needed to play some somewhat graphically demanding game, because the very first game I played with my 1080 was Duck Game, which, you know, didn't push it at all.
Quack, 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 quack.
And then I was using Assassin's Creed 4, but like it wasn't pushing the graphics card at all, so I needed something to like, you know, push it. So I downloaded a bunch of like graphic mods for American Truck Simulator, and then it's compatible with DSR for NVIDIA, which, if you don't know what that is, basically like upscales the image output to something higher than what your display is, and then downscales it to your display. So it has like, it's a crisper image, and it really does work. It's really cool. But even then, so I was just playing it and I was driving a truck, but I haven't played in a long time. And like there's like a Christmas event where you could like drive, you're like doing deliveries for Santa. Yeah. So you're like delivering presents for Santa around the country, which is pretty fun. Mm. It's a fun game. Like, I really enjoy the truck simulator games. They're good just to kind of chill out too. They're relaxing.
Yeah. So all of us here, for the most part, have streamed on Twitch in the past. Or currently do, and some of my most popular streams have been me playing Farming Sim.
Yeah,
and I think it's just because people like the relaxing atmosphere of it. It's like
I just come for the John Deere music.
John Denver, Denver.
John, oh my God!
God, John Deere.
Wow.
Josh has been banned from the podcast.
I you know, well, I mean, you're using John Deere equipment.
Country home.
I'm trying to save it.
Yeah, no,
don't sing the songs because we can get in trouble.
But those kind of games are just super relaxing, and I really enjoy them. They're probably some of my most played games on Steam are probably those kind of.
Yeah, no, I agree. They're. When I first got the game, I was like, this is going to be stupid. But then I put like 14 hours into it in like my first couple days having it. So,
yep.
What do you know?
So what about you, JT? What has been in your game log this week?
So as I already mentioned, you know, I've been playing a lot of Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely am in love with that game. Final Fantasy 14, I'm making my grand return, and we're trying to start up a free company, the Warriors of Milk, Miroku no Senshi, for all you Japanese aficionados out there.
For our Japanese fans out there.
Yeah, all like negative Ohio. Five of them. Konnichiwa.
Doki doki.
But Final Fantasy 14. I recently played through the newest raid instance, and I had a blast. It was really well done. It's Rabban Aster from Final Fantasy 12, so it was themed around that kind of stuff. If you've played FF12, the next patch is going to bring Final Fantasy VI themed things. So apparently you're going to fight Kefka in Final Fantasy XIV. And if you're a Final Fantasy nerd like myself, you're probably wiggling, giggling inside. It's going to be awesome. And they even remade the Dancing Mad song that is very good, but they did it very well. So it's a really nice remake of a very good song. Really cool. Destiny 2, still on my radar, even though I'm going to rant about it later. I still played it, so yeah. I can't lie.
It's still a fun game, just there's problems with it.
It's situationally fun for me now. I know, I've kind of hit the wall where I've gathered everything that I wanted to collect. I've seen all the content. I mean, I don't think there's anything we haven't seen. I mean, we've done trials, but trials is a waste of time since it's basically all carries or top 100 people coming in and just melting phases. But But yeah, that's pretty much what I've been playing this week.
Okay. I have been playing Stardew Valley, like mentioned, Destiny 2, Overwatch, Final Fantasy 14, and then the other two games that I've spent some time on have been World of Warcraft, which is it either just released a new patch or is going to very shortly. That is going to completely revamp how leveling works, and I'm very interested to try that out. It's supposed to take, if I am reading this correctly, it's supposed to essentially take it and make it so you can kind of quest anywhere and get experience proportionate to your actual level. So they're going to apply the zoning technology or the mob scaling technology that they have to more zones than just like the newer locations. Because I think with this last expansion and possibly the one before it, they set it up in such a way that you could, you know, you start in the starting area, but then whereas in the older games, it would basically say like, hey, go here or here, and that's, you know, those are the next two zones that will be appropriate for your level. You could basically just go to any other zone and the mobs would scale to you. And they're taking that technology and applying it to what is essentially the old world. So now you can go anywhere and level up, and it should still be a relatively smooth experience, hopefully.
I've read some articles about that, and they were saying that leveling is taking forever now.
Oh, yeah, it's going to take forever because now everything is, like, you know, scaled to your your level. So you're not just going to be able to run into a level that's, like, slightly above you, but because you have heirloom items, just raffle stomp your way through it. Now those things are going to be appropriately scaled to your level, which means they'll probably...
So I mean, it makes sense to fulfill the role playing aspect of WoW.
Yeah.
You can't be like a thunder god as soon as you get into like some new area and you're just like, yeah, I'm gonna smash all the things.
Yeah.
That totally makes sense in that way. So it's I see why they would want to do that.
Yeah. From my understanding, it's it may take longer to level, but the people who enjoy it are really enjoying leveling because they don't feel so constrained to, you know, follow one particular path all the way through the expansion or the zone or whatever. So there's that. And the other game that I've been playing has been Civilization VI, which nice. is getting ready to release a new expansion pack. And I bought it for $12 on the Humble Bundle website because it's their subscription game for the month. For those of you that don't know, the Humble Bundle also has a subscription service where for like $12 a month, they give you games basically, and it's like hundreds of dollars worth of games for $12 a month. So I'm like, that's worth it. So I bought that, and I think within the first day and a half of having it, I've put like 17 hours into the game. It's a lot of fun. It's definitely super in depth, but there's a lot to learn. And I think these kind of, I guess they call them 4X strategy games are some of my favorite to play because I have no idea what I'm doing. And so it's just kind of me stumbling through, trying to, you know, control the world.
Nice.
My strategy is just get the nukes, and then win.
Oh, the Gandhi strategy.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was watching somebody play it, and it was like, what was the year? The year was like 1800 AD, and like way before nukes were even a twinkle in somebody's eye, you know? And Gandhi interacted with this person's civilization saying, like, nuclear technology is the future. You must see this. And I just I thought it was, like, completely hilarious.
He clearly knew the way.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Nope, man. And well, then that bombshell.
That's our meme. That's our meme quota for the week.
Yeah.
On that note, why don't we move on to the grand finale of our podcast, our favorite part, the random rant. And AJ, I know,
baby.
I know you got a good one this week.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have two, kind of. So, and they're both kind of about the same thing. So Twitch rolled out a new feature called Premieres.
Oh, right. Yes.
Which is, it's kind of strange. I'm not completely against it, but I'm not entirely sure it's optimized yet. Essentially, what you do in a Twitch Premiere is you say I make a YouTube video or an edited video, and I want to upload it. I can upload it to YouTube, and I then schedule a time for this to be premiered, in which case it goes live on my channel and just plays. So I make a 30-minute video. I set it to roll out at like 10:30 in the morning because I'm at work. So at 10:30 in the morning, my channel goes live, and it's just a pre-recorded video. That's been nice and edited and all that kind of stuff. And then it can be watched as a rerun, which is what I guess they're turning vodcast into. So a vodcast will now be called a rerun, where I could just set up a playlist of all these old videos and just run them one after another. So my channel is always live, essentially. Or you can watch them on my channel like you would a YouTube video. The only issue with this is if I'm streaming at the time and I have forgotten that I've set up a premiere to roll out, like I think 5 minutes or so before it's set to go off, it will send out an alert saying like, hey, come check out AJ's new premiere in 5 minutes on his channel. You know, cool dude. But if I'm still live, it doesn't go. It fails because I'm live, obviously. So I think they need to change it to where you don't actually have to premiere the video on your channel to have it work. It should be something more similar to YouTube, where you hit publish, it's there, people can watch it, and then if you want to premiere it, you can. So that Twitch premieres in a nutshell, and also the first of my two rants. The second rant is all about YouTube and them changing their stupid goddamn channel requirement update bullshit stuff. Because I do have a small YouTube channel. I have like 15 subs because I'm bad. But I have one channel or one video on there that it got like 23,000 views, and it's me talking about a chair. And it made me $20. But because I have 15 subscribers and not enough hours of content watched, because I only have like two videos up there right now, YouTube is actually changing the partner requirements, and now I'm no longer eligible. The new partner requirements are 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 hours of content watched within I don't know if it's like a calendar year or if it's like a rolling year, like within the last 365 days of whatever today is. So that was kind of annoying. A bunch of little YouTubers kind of got screwed on it because they may produce really cool content and be getting paid a lot, but they just don't have the subscribers, you know, because reading the requirement, it's an explicit and, it's not an or. So you need to have 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 hours of content watched. You can't have 1,000 subscribers or 4,000 hours of content. So I hope they change that, because, I mean, either way, I'm screwed. I don't have nearly enough content watched or subscribers, but I know a bunch of people who either have 1,000 subs that don't watch because they don't put content out that much, or they put out a lot of content, but people just don't sub. They just watch it. So that is that needs to be fixed on the double, hopefully.
Feels bad, man.
Yeah. Those are my rant. I'm done.
Nice.
Can I rant?
Oh, yes, you can.
So I want to kind of take the other side of the Twitch premieres from AJ. I think that is going to be amazing, but I'm coming to that from the potential of creating Red Light TV on Twitch. You know, eventually we might get to the point where we can videotape, you know, we can record the podcast being created, and we could premiere that, and then we could have, you know, other shows, you know, if other people want to give us some content to throw up there, other members of the community and whatnot, you know, we can have a schedule where you're putting out some pre-recorded content. We can just premiere it on the Red Light channel and then, you know, make a TV network. That's kind of how I'm feeling the premiere thing. So that I think there's some stuff we can do there, and I think it'll be actually pretty cool. But I'm waiting to see how Twitch actually delivers on this, because as we all know, Twitch is kind of hit or miss when it comes to delivery of new features and
functionality. They'll find a way to screw this up.
I know. they always do. It's sad. The
next dude never misses.
Yeah. But my real rant for the week, my planned rant, if you will, is our favorite little gem, Destiny 2. God damn it, Bungie. I mean, I could end the rant there and you would all probably, you know.
Yeah,
you get you get completely.
I mean, I'm not pissed off at them for making mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. But they keep making the same mistakes over and over and over. And they're getting all this feedback from the community. If I were a developer receiving this level of feedback, I would be absolutely ecstatic that I had, one, a community that gives half of a shit, and two, all that feedback. You know, you could make something absolutely amazing with all that feedback. You know, I'm a developer by trade, and I can't even get feedback from a business user who uses software I've written on a daily basis. You know, I got to pull their teeth to get some, you know, real good feedback as to what they want. And Bungie has these people just basically throwing feedback at them, and oh, we're listening, but not delivering. I don't know. But what really sparked this was the most recent faction rally. And if you know faction rallies in Destiny, or if you don't know, I guess, you collect all of these faction materials, tokens, things like that for your chosen faction, and you'll get rewards. But the main point is whichever faction has the most people collecting the most things wins, and then you get an item, you know, weapon. This time, Bungie decided, hey, let's not let them collect things at a very high rate, you know. So Lost Sectors, really good example. You apparently can only open two every 10 minutes, which blows my damn mind, because I can probably burn through four or five Lost Sectors in 10 minutes. It's not really that hard. But yeah, they decided to put a throttle on the stuff gathering of the faction rally for no real reason. It makes no point. It's just another one of those, what the hell, Bungie? Why do you got to do this? It's just a long chain of bonehead decisions. I don't know if they've got a lack of leadership there at Bungie. I don't know if they have no vision on what they want their game to be. I don't know what it is, but you know, you spend any time on the Destiny the Game subreddit, you're going to get an eye full of salt and anger. I mean, people are just all over the place. It's a damn shame, because they've got the foundations for something really great, but they're addicted to shooting themselves in the foot. I don't know what it is at this point. But yeah, I'm kind of pissed.
Well, I'm sure. I could tell.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm just laughing because it just popped up saying AJ is now playing Farming Simulator.
And I'm talking about farming.
I'm testing that DSR thing, okay? Because apparently it's enabled in Farming
Simulator. Apparently we're boring and he's going to go grow some fucking crops with a tractor.
Well, I got my new rant. They just playing games while we're trying to record a podcast.
I'm doing nothing. Just because it's open doesn't mean I'm playing.
Banned.
Listen to that John Deere music and driving a tractor.
Anyways. What's your actual rant, Cage?
Well, so this past weekend, and last week actually, I went to see a production of Rock of Ages at the Palace Theater up here in Manchester, New Hampshire, which, just to give a little quick recap of it, it's a jukebox musical full of 80s hair metal music. It's incredible. I've seen a bunch of shows and stuff, and it's definitely one of my favorites. First, I went twice while it's in town, because I really like it. I took my fiance this past weekend, and she really liked it. Except we were sitting in front of these older people, probably like late 40s, mid 50s, something like around there, older in comparison to me. And as soon as they come in, they reek of alcohol. Now, this show is like, you know, it's metal, heavy metal music. It's sing along. You're supposed to sing along. Like, give you glow sticks as you walk in. But catcalling is never really appreciated in the theater, which these people were doing.
Oh, man.
So the lead character's name's Drew, and a bunch of people behind us kept yelling, "Drew, take your pants off!" Now, the whole show is set up like a concert, but I was still just mad that they were doing that.
Well, shit, I know what I'm going to do next time I want to go see Cats on Broadway. Skimbleshanks, take off your pants! Sorry.
Well, exactly. Like, that was my point. You would never see that like at any other show. It just happened. It was at Rock of Ages, so it kind of makes sense. But once the lights came back up after the show, we looked down and we saw a bunch of plastic test tubes that were empty that smelled of alcohol. So they were smuggling in alcohol in test tubes to a theater.
That's high class, man.
Yeah, what can I say? We're pretty classy up here in New Hampshire.
I was a theater nerd in high school. I was one of like the stage operators. I was like the main assistant to the head stage operator.
Nice.
So I was the one, like, I literally made the show run. Because without me, nobody would have opened the curtain. So,
most important job.
Yeah. So I have the utmost respect for people in theater and what they do, and it really grinds my gears when people are like yelling in the middle of a show or like. Now, that's not to say it's not always a bad thing. Like, there are some shows, you know, where encouraged, you know, to be interactive and all that, but it's just one of those things where you have to know what's going on, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it. But yeah, that was my rant from the weekend. Great show otherwise.
Hold on.
Well, all right, gentlemen, been another fun session up here.
Yeah, what's that? Two in the can already.
Yeah, right.
What in the world?
We do have a few announcements. If you join our Discord server, which all links are on we forgot to plug this last week, but you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, our main website, redlight.gg. Post all tons of cool articles and stuff, which we are going to be doing more in 2018. That's our resolution this year, to put more content on the website. But the link to our Discord's there. And we do a lot of cool things there. We have a lot of events and stuff. We're having there's some talk about some gaming tournaments coming up. Just we'll keep all the information in there. But this, when this released, when this episode is released, this coming Sunday, January 28th, it is the WWE Royal Rumble.
Royal Rumble!
Yeah. So for every... I'm going to sneeze. Nope, it's done. for every WWE event past couple times, we have been doing a watch party in our Discord where you can just hop in with all of us to hang out with us while we're watching on the WWE Network for only $9.99.
Masterfully done, sir.
Right? It's ingrained. They got to me, man. Hey, you can come out.
Sponsor us.
Yeah, right? Hey, hey, Vinny Mac. I know you just got stunned by Stone Cold, but hey, hit us up. I know he's into esports now. He gave money to Cloud9. But yeah, so if you want to come out, hang out our Discord. On that will start at 8 p.m. Eastern time, I believe, on January 28th. And otherwise, even if you don't want to, just come to Discord anyway. Hang out, find some people to game with. We got some teams going. We're working an Overwatch team going. Yeah, come on down to Discord. It's a pretty cool place. And you can follow all of us individually on Twitter. You can find me at CKH Gaming.
I'm at Echo TV. That's ECKHOTV.
And I am at Josh Off Topic.
Nice. And you can follow the main Red Light Gaming channel at redlight.gg on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook. I think it's just Red Light Gaming. And our main website, redlight.gg. We will see all of you next week. And until then, game on.
Stay nasty.
And drink your milk.
AJ's still playing Farming Simulator.